matters not included in the agenda.
Oh, really?
He's still thinking.
Well, that could take hours.
Consent agenda. Anything we need to pull off for further discussion? If not, can I have a motion to approve?
Move to approve.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? None. Discussion and decision on fire department insurance policy. So that might be you.
It's me.
It'll be Sean Peterson.
If we've been 3 years with VFIS as the current carrier.
Sean, I'm going to stop you for a minute, just for the public to know. This is Sean Peterson, our insurance agent with Bing West Insurance Company. And we insure through VFIS, but he is our representative with VFIS.
Correct.
What is VFIS?
That's our insurance company.
That's insurance.
Does initials mean something?
Volunteer Fire Insurance Services is the name of the company. They insure most of the volunteer fire departments, certainly in this state and probably others, but I'm only familiar with this state.
Thank you.
You're welcome. So just for your information, premium-wise, we've been with VFIS for 3 years. The renewal information that we got, the expired premium on an accident policy was $9,772. The renewal premium is $10,479. This is actually a 2% rate decrease. However, the premium is up $707 on that portion of coverage because your number of career members have increased from 2 to 3. So the rate hasn't gone up, the exposure.
Just
right.
More
right.
To cover.
However, some of that is offset on your package policy, which is your property, your liability, your autos, etc. The expired premium was $27,539. The renewal premium is $27,018, which is a decrease of $521. I'm pleased with this renewal offer. What I'm seeing in the commercial insurance marketplace is typically 4 to 6% increases, particularly, and you're gonna see this if you're business owners or probably even in personal insurance, auto rates are going up fairly substantially. Reason for that being, you know, I hear varied information from insurance companies, but a big driver of that is claims due to distracted driving. So the loss ratios that insurance companies are having have gone up tremendously. I'm hearing that, plus vehicles are so technological, they're just getting a lot more expensive to fix. So auto rates are going up, so just a little bit of sunshine to cheer you up for other stuff. So however, on your entire package, the premium's up less than $200, which is awesome. It's really good. We also submitted your account to McNeil & Company. McNeil & Company also writes fire departments. I've only got one fire department with McNeil & Company, and just to be frank and honest, the reason we have them is the fire department that we have them with just got mad at VFIS, and they didn't care what the premium was, they just didn't want to be with VFIS, and this has been a few years back, and then so they didn't make sense. So we submitted it to McNeil & Company. They have not provided us with a quote. They want some additional substantial information. So however, I reviewed the quote that we got from them in 2014, and their premium at that time on the package was $29,955. So I'm doubtful that their premiums have gone down substantially in 3 years, and their premium 3 years ago was substantially higher than VFIS is. So we can pursue that further if you guys want to, but I think you're wasting your time.
Do we, Beans, we're with VIS, for 3 years, does that incorporate a little discount as the more you're, or do they do that?
Not really.
A loyalty thing.
However, they do look at loss ratios. So, yeah, you're an account that they look at, you know, these guys are, they're money makers. So they know they have to stay and be competitive, and they're doing that.
Okay.
You know, they're doing that. So, like I say, and McNeil & Company, my experience with them is they're a back east company. So I'm sure they have a lot of business around the country, but they think they're more special than I think they are.
Okay.
I mean, they'll tell you that. They'll say, you know, we're the best, and you know, we're not going to be the lowest premium, but we're the best. And I'm not impressed.
And nobody else has entered the market for volunteer fire departments, have they?
I think last year, maybe even, and last couple years, Philadelphia said they were interested, and they were wanting quoting, and they were zero in the state. And they just said, I guess we're not competitive.
So VFIS is the main one pretty much. And you have one account with McNeil because they just didn't want to be with VFIS.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
And that's about the only two options in the state, isn't there?
I think so.
We were at that meeting, that's kind of what we heard.
That's pretty much what we hear, yeah.
Yeah.
Is that you're kind of handcuffed because of the size of the state and the number of insurance companies that want to be here.
Correct, and again, but VFIS, I like their policies. I mean, I write lots of commercial insurance, and the coverage and latitude you guys get is comparable to none. I mean, you just don't. The only policy I've ever seen that even comes close is through Mako municipality kind of policies, and they have big blanket coverages and things like that. So they're pretty good, but I've not, just some of the stuff they do, like your equipment, they just say, we cover your portable equipment, whatever it is. And we don't have to have a big list of, if it's not, you know, most of the time, if it's not on the list, it's not covered. They just say, we cover it.
Yeah.
So it's, they do some good things. I don't know how much you, I'm not going to take up a bunch of your time on coverage stuff. I mean, I'm going to leave this summary with you, Jason. I'm going to leave you the policy itself, but summaries are easier than. I've kind of highlighted, you know, all the locations we've got, the limits of the locations. You have earthquake, you have flood. There's another example. I mean, that's just automatic. You don't get that stuff.
Yeah, usually flood's a government coverage, isn't it?
Yes, yeah.
So.
Exactly. Yeah, most of the time when I have people call me and say, hey, I want flood insurance, I say, well, that's not something we just add to your policy. We have to go through the National Flood Services to get it. And here's the one I was talking about for portable equipment coverage. It's provided for all portable firefighting ambulance and rescue-related equipment owned or furnished for your regular use covered.
I've run into a few situations, and I'm just going to use example as a pickup. And then you put a snow plow on it, then you have to insure that separately. You don't have to do that.
Right.
Here.
Yeah. Yeah.
They cover the whole thing.
Right.
And even if you
put the way they value your vehicles is better than you and I get on our personal or any commercial policies. You also, you've got $1 million liability limits, and then you've also got an umbrella or an excess policy, I should say, that's new management liability, employment practices, and then your excess policies, and I want to say it's another $5 million. Yeah, another $5 million bucks.
Yeah.
So good program, good coverage.
No big changes in the policy or anything like that then?
Montana state law is if they're going to have any big changes in the policy, they have to send us and you 45 days notice as to what those changes are.
Right.
So no. So any questions, anything on that portion? I I also, you got your work comp with us, that's in state fund, and you guys got a $5,469 check here a few weeks back, just a dividend. You don't, to be honest with you, you don't really have a choice as to the carrier you're with. There are private carriers that write work comp, but they get to pick and choose the classes that they'll write, and fire departments ain't one of them. Mm-hmm. That's my best English.
Yeah.
But your loss history is on. You don't get dividend checks unless you're part of the good solution. You know, if you've got bad loss ratio or bad experience mod, you don't get the that check. So, I mean, that was a check of, what did I say, a little over 5,400. And your premium right now is on your work comp is a little over 14,000. So it's fairly substantial for that. Any questions?
And Jason, you and Brian haven't had any issues with VFIS?
No.
Okay.
I mean, we haven't made a claim for 7 years, 4, 5 years. It's been a long time since we've
been here. I can't remember you having one with since I...
Yeah, no, we haven't since you've been here. But, I mean, it's... I think that utility was the last time there was a claim.
Fire departments tend to not have claims until they have one and then
use whoppers.
Yeah. So here's a summary. I've got invoices for all three. Here's the policy with
cards for them.
Right. But I guess I'm going to leave that with you. If for whatever reason you said, hey, we're not going to renew this, then I need this back to send back to them, but I suspect it's going to be renewed sometime in that.
And remind me again, when's our renewal date?
January 1st.
It's the first.
Okay. We got to make a decision tonight,
right?
Because we're if we don't have a December meeting,
right?
Do you want public comment?
Yeah. Yes. Any more questions for Sean? Yeah. Okay. If not, public comment on our insurance policy. Okay.
He's looking at the floor.
He didn't even wiggle this time.
Nobody wants to talk about insurance.
Right. I'll make a motion that we renew with VFIS through Payne West for the following year.
Second.
Okay. By Pete.
By Pete.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? None?
I guess you can leave the book.
Yeah.
Thanks for coming
out. That was presumptuous, wasn't it?
Thank you.
Thanks, Shane.
Enjoy the rest of the meeting. Thank you.
Okay. Number two, discussion and decision on capital replacement items.
So I got a couple updates. You guys approved a number of capital replacement requests that I presented to you at the last meeting. One update is the AED number that I had for the estimates was actually not quite accurate, given that I didn't realize we had to buy both the trainer and the pediatric infant child reduced energy pads for every single one of the AEDs. So the actual estimate completely is now 21.052 and 22 cents. I can write that on the board for you guys.
And what was your estimate again?
So I estimated 18. I didn't realize that about the trainer. We really need to have the trainer, so when we do all the training, it does all the functions but doesn't actually deliver the shock, so we don't kill each other while we're doing it.
Well, it isn't like tasers where you can actually do it.
Yeah, I mean,
isn't that practice? How's the practice if it doesn't actually shock?
It just talks to you. It talks you through.
It suggests that your heart starts running again?
So that's one amendment. And again, I didn't want to move forward until I ran that by you guys. Because all my estimates were over the phone. And it wasn't until I actually got the payment that it starts flowing in. And then you guys had me, I gave you an estimate of $6,000 for the new plow. I did some research on that. Chuck talked to his acquaintance.
Stevens Welding, they sell...
Snowway.
Thank you. Yeah. I couldn't remember.
And his estimate was...
$6,400.
$6,400. Then I went and through a recommendation talked to the Boss Plow dealer in Belgrade. And he cut us a heck of a deal on an 8-foot straight blade Super Duty for $5,800, which was $1,000 off the cost of the unit. And also gave us a lifetime annual maintenance on changing out the hydraulic fluid for the life of the plow. So it was a great offer.
So that was like an annual service?
Yep, he said bring it in every fall and he'll do a free service on it for as long as we own it. So it really seemed to really, he just sold one to Ford Ellis too and seems to really support public service entities.
Okay.
So that's what I'm going to recommend is the Boss Plow at $5,800.
What color is it?
It's red, baby.
Oh, that's why.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was wondering why you were going Boss, but now I know.
Right.
Yeah.
We get excited about it.
Because
truck's red.
Pete doesn't like that lime green.
That's yellow.
Or whatever.
Yeah, so those are the two best prices, but yeah.
Someone has to worry about the aesthetics of this department.
So those are the updates for your approval.
Okay.
Disapproval.
Well, I don't know if you guys have any more questions for Jason. If you don't, public comment on our capital improvement or capital replacement items.
Chairman, I have an email to you, actually. I don't know if you got the email, but it asked for you to put this into the record, but I can do that if you'd like.
I didn't see
it. It was sent this morning early, so I'm assuming didn't get it.
No. Hey, Nick, you state your name for the record.
Yes, I will do that. Thank you. Nick Schroeder. I'm up here on behalf of Pat Wilson, who can't be here tonight, who sent this email to Chairman Kraft today. So I'm quoting this, November 27, 2017, when he wrote it and mailed it early this morning. Mr. Kraft, quote, Mr. Kraft, I am unable to attend the November 28, 2017 Highlight Board of Trustee meeting. I am offering the following comments and asking they be entered as public comment for the record on the following agenda items. We're now on agenda item 2, discussion and decision of capital replacement items. I support the purchase of replacement radios, automatic external defibrillators, and thermal imaging cameras, as it sounds like all of these items have reached the end of their useful service life and are critical safety and life-saving equipment. I do not know enough about the condition of the snowplow, but I trust Chief Ravisky's assessment. Unquote.
Okay.
And as long as I'm here, I also agree on my own behalf.
Okay.
Thank you.
Any other public comment?
Can I kind of add here, since Pat didn't have much information on the plow, when I talked to the Boss dealer, he hadn't seen the plow that we have. And you know, we're not plow experts. We just know that we are paying almost $9,000 a year for a private company to do snow plowing. We figure we could do it cheaper by doing it ourselves. But he said he might be able to give us some trade-in value on our old plow. Well, then I brought it down and showed it to him, and he said, nope. He said, that's from the early 80s. And he says, the problem with that plow is that Boss just doesn't even make parts for it anymore. I mean, you can't, he says, In we're going to try to work for the board's information. We're going to try to sell it on Craigslist. But he said the problem with even doing that is you'd have to sell it to somebody who's got that model 1989 Chevy 3/4 ton truck or in that series of however many years we're in that, because the mounting piece, you can't go to Boss and buy a mounting piece for a Ford or a newer Chevy or an older Chevy. They just completely don't support products from the 80s. So he looked at it and he said, scrap value. He said, I'd take it and take the Pacific and get the scrap value for it. But we'll try to sell it on Craigslist and see what we can do.
Yeah, on Craigslist, I suspect you'll find somebody that wants to mess with it.
Yeah, and he took it off for us and got all everything put together and put it in the back of the truck, and we got it over here. So we're going to give that a shot and see what we can do with it.
Let the record show, it is not the policy of this board or its staff to disparage owners of Chevy equipment from the
1980s. Cool. Okay. Do I have a motion?
To approve the amended capital.
Are you at the radio? Well, I guess one thing, because Pat mentioned the radios, you didn't comment on that in your report.
We already approved those.
Yeah,
that's done last. Yeah, we did that last time. Yeah. Okay, got it. So motion to approve
the capital replacement items as presented by Chief Hibiski.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? None. Agenda item number 3 got inadvertently put on there. We don't even know how that happened. So that's not really part of our agenda tonight because we don't have a fiscal year budget.
We
don't have a discussion on it.
Yeah, there's nothing to discuss.
Yeah. Number 4, discussion and decision regarding placing unappropriated budget. Remainder to the restricted capital funds, which we do this time every year when we figure out where we're at. So.
And I'll take an initial run at this as the current treasurer, and I'll rely on the support from past treasurer to fill in the gaps here. As you know, it's been the philosophy of this board to try and maintain static taxation, and in an effort to achieve that goal, we try to squirrel away some money in capital, in the restricted capital fund, to service capital purchases on a pay-as-you-go kind of basis, which, as of last meeting, we're exercising a portion of that right now, looking at buying new radios and so on and so forth. And just as a bit of history, since we went through the consolidation last year, we did not put any money in restricted funds. We didn't know exactly how things were going to shake out through the consolidation process. And so the board did not make an effort to put monies into the restricted fund last year. So we're playing a little bit of catch up. So the number that we're suggesting be put into the restricted fund this year is essentially 2 years worth. And as a reminder, the staff has put together a replacement model that looks at our capital. And right now, Jason, correct me if I'm wrong, but it's about $270,000 annualized replacement value based on the model that you've put together.
Is $280,500. Okay. If we had made the full contribution in 2016 of $275,000.
So, and that number basically represents, if you were to even out the stream of replacement on an annualized basis, is what we're trying to achieve here. And so again, the goal is to try and squirrel away these monies in those restricted funds so that we can service, even though it's a lumpy thing, we're trying to service those needs without going to the taxpayers and asking for additional millage to buy a truck or that sort of thing, for as far into the future as we can achieve that goal. We don't know how long we can do that, but that's what we're trying to achieve. So that being said, if you look at our balance sheet right now, we have, there's about a little over $1 million, $1.1 million that's currently in unrestricted fund balances. And we have about $957,000 that are in reserved capital restricted balances, of which about $75,000 is in the capital building fund, and the remainder is in apparatus. And so in order to maintain our cash reserves to service operating needs, We have to keep some monies in the unrestricted fund balance. And so with that being said, it looks like somewhere in the neighborhood of about $500,000 would be a number that I would suggest could be placed into the restricted fund balance, of which I would suggest that it would be appropriate to put about $100,000 into the building capital fund and $400,000 into apparatus. And that should still leave us with a cash balance that would service unforeseen circumstances. Chuck, would you like to add anything to
it? The only other thing I'd add is that we budget every year for a business that we have no idea what the expenses are going to be. We don't have any clue how many calls we're going to go on, and that includes mutual aid calls because we all share a mutual aid scenario. We have no idea what fuel prices are going to be. There's a ton of unknowns in the budgeting process. And so this money that's left over, rather than leave in the general fund that can be spent any which way it comes out, we are adamant to try to do the capital replacement plan so that we don't have to go to the taxpayers and say, oh, the $700,000, the $800,000 fire truck needs to be replaced because it's costing more to keep it running than it is to get a new one. And oh, by the way, we need to ask you for a special mill and increase your mills. This is an attempt to create a very level mill so that homeowners year to year, I could be wrong. I'm not really fond of taxes in a great way, but it's a necessary evil. So at least you can budget in your home on kind of what the taxes are, and that's the attempt here. But the money comes from unspent budget because we have to have it in the budget because we don't know what our expenses are going to be. And I can say that the two senior, and I don't know if I want to use age or time on the board, I'm not quite sure how to describe the Chevy.
You just got to keep going.
The tractor guy, but long and short of it is, they can well remember being on the board, having to borrow money commercially, get loans to be able to buy equipment. Well, that costs the district more because now you're paying interest on money. So that's where this comes from. It's roughly, we've always been kind of between the two, around 190, 175. This is about 250 per year. It always kind of varies in that area, but that's where this money is coming from. It's not like it's budgeted as a guaranteed, oh gee, we'll always have this excess money. We don't ever know. So I'd put that in.
Any questions, comments?
Good planning.
Yeah, and that's what we're trying to do.
Do you want public comment?
I had one question on your split. You know, how did you come up with that? The 400 versus 100.
Yeah, that's, I don't know that there is a lot of science.
But no, I wasn't. That. Look,
and
since I'm kind of the one that.
Yeah, I think.
Basically, what I did was I looked at what we needed to do for the capital reserve.
Okay, that was right.
And then the only thing is the previous, 2 years ago, we put 50,000 in. I know that we're talking about at some point the need 10 years down the road or something. So it was kind of a 1/5 to building because we know either Cottonwood might need some addition to it, or we need some help or addition, and it's like, we know we need money in that. That's a guarantee, but this was kind of a compromise to at least get a little bit more money back into the building. So that's where it came from. There was no real super.
And I think the other aspect of it too that we discussed is that if we have something that ends up being a capital purchase but isn't large enough to, say for example, a fuel depot at this station would be a capital purchase, and those funds could be used to purchase a fuel depot since it's a capital purchase.
Instead of apparatus.
Correct.
Instead of coming out of apparatus. Right.
Or if there's an.
Because that would be capital. That would be a big
right. thing. Okay. Any public comment on the appropriation of our remainders?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Steve White. Are we talking about the reserve fund balance? Is that where you're getting the money from?
No, we're taking money from the general fund that was left over in fiscal year 2015 and fiscal year 16.
Is it on the balance sheet?
Balance sheet, yeah. Right. It's, if you look it's at equity, the unrestricted fund balance.
Oh, okay. Because I think
the sum of the two, if you look at unrestricted fund and reserve fund right. balance, yields the our current asset or total cash investment.
I guess what I'm comparing this to, Mr. Chair and members of the board, I've been on the Solid Waste District Board for over 10 years, which is Logan Landfill, and. We've got a significant asset base out there, as you well know. And the way we handle this kind of stuff is we have reserve accounts for a lot of different things, equipment replacement and so forth. And it's all under current assets, or I think it'd be current assets, not fixed assets. But it sits right next to our checking accounts, etc. And so we have, even though we have a lot of money coming in every year, you know, or every month, you know, the landfill nets about $350,000 a month, and but when you look at the way that we apply the money to our balance sheet, our cash in bank doesn't really increase that much because we're putting in a lot of reserve accounts. Same at the county level with our, you know, we put $400,000 a year into a reserve account for bridge replacement, and so I was expecting to see something like that. And so there's probably a good reason why you're not doing it that way, but that's where my confusion was, so that I could just look at this and see how much money you've got set aside in reserve and you don't have to worry about squirreling it away. The other thing I'm missing here, and it's got to be here someplace, I just can't see it. Maybe it wasn't printed or something, but I don't see any accommodation for depreciation. And I assume it's got to be there somewhere. That's a pretty important component with all your equipment, et cetera, that there's a depreciation. It's not a tax issue for your fire district, but it does give a realistic view of your assets that are getting older, and that the value of it for resale should be adjusted. We do it at the, I think at the landfill, we do it like every 4 months, maybe every 3 months or whatever. But for sure, at the end of the year, you can see what we depreciated for the year. So I just didn't see any reflection for depreciation. And if it's not there, then you've got items, or you've got assets that are depreciating but are not being recognized as such. So
if you'd like an expanded balance sheet, right, we have it's in there.
Okay, I just didn't see it as
an effort to make this right. balance sheet fit on a little page. More condensed, readable.
Right.
It's in there, but it's not expanded out.
So the asset value
is reflective of, right. and actually this one is reflective of, we do it at year-end closing every year,
right.
So that would have been the end of August. So it's
okay.
reflective.
Well, I figured it was there. I wasn't expecting to see depreciation item by item, but there's usually at least a line that says.
Yeah, it's similar
to. We've had numerous conversations about trying to make these readable for people.
Sure.
And unfortunately, nobody's the same. So there's some that want more, or want to make sure.
Just one line, just depreciation,
yeah,
just so I know that it's being accounted.
And so if you want an additional one, I would think we could send an expanded one out to you and offer that to
okay.
you.
Okay, no, just a single line is all I was looking for, and I guess then that would, your asset, total asset would probably go up.
Yes.
If you show the depreciation as
well,
another
yeah,
line.
The net.
The net would stay the same, but
yeah.
you'd see a different
right.
Asset value
right.
with the depreciation there. So
yeah, it's similar to the reserve fund balance. I mean, we've consolidated the building component and the apparatus component into one number
okay.
for this particular
okay.
Report,
okay.
just so we can get it on.
No, I like what you've got, and I like the fact that it's on the net.
And with their capital replacement plan, we actually assign salvage value to
okay,
all
good.
The items.
Okay, that was
so in the contribution here, it takes into account what we could, what we estimate we could sell a piece of 25-year-old fire equipment for.
Okay, good. Thank you very much. Appreciate that.
Any other public comment on our restricted funds, capital funds?
Nick Schroeder again. It's not so much a comment as I'm a bit confused in terms of these things. What is the fiscal year then? What is the period?
Our fiscal year is from July 1 to June 30.
Okay, July 1 to June 30. So the budget that was done, I think in July, we had a budget and it showed something like the amount that was spent in the budget, and then there was something like $325,000, approximately a third of $1 million budget that was unused. And I think maybe I don't understand what that number
there was. There was also a correction. There was also a correction to that initial budget. Once the final numbers came in from the county finance office.
When did that happen?
That happened right before we
did that.
Before the August, before we signed, agreed, the board passed the final budget.
Well, maybe I was looking at an old number.
Right. I think you were the initial budget that came out were prior to receiving the final numbers from the county finance office. And so there was an adjustment to that number that was in that you're referring to.
So what is that number now, then, just to help me understand that?
I think you're talking about what we budgeted to take from the apparatus restricted fund make up for. There were two numbers. There was the budget that we were going to, our expense budget, basically. And then there was the total revenues of the mills. And then there was, at that point, Jason had said, hey, I'm going to be bringing this to you guys about buying a new rescue truck. And so that $325,000, some of that money was coming from what we thought might be not expensed out. And then the other was coming from the apparatus fund as we already have. And the $325,000 was the number of the rescue truck.
Well, no, I think.
Wasn't it?
I think.
What was the rescue truck?
Well, I think the number that Nick is referring to is the number, the initial income estimate for the department tax levy amount was larger than what actually the final number that we received from the county. It was larger than the 1.1. The expense side did not change. We left the expenses the same. So the 250, if you look at the P&L, the 258, originally that number was around 325 or 350 or 325 in the first iteration of the budget. That number changed once we got the final numbers from the county finance office. And that's what changed. That's how we arrived at the 258 at the bottom of the P&L.
What I remember is a piece of paper that came from the county financial office that said there was approximately $250,000 or $300,000 in a restricted account, and then there had to be a pre-application that the department or the district was going to buy a fire truck, and so there was this $325,000 number, which was premature but an estimate, so that two summed together to about $600,000. Which early on, then in my mind, fixed that it was going to be about a $600,000 truck, which, you know, he's got lots of good to comment and talk about the need for that. And so then I'm trying to take that information and try to follow it here. And I guess that was what my question was, is because it seemed to me that we already had an account from something, someplace, maybe it's left over from, or how merged Ray and Sourdough, that we ended up in that first half of a fiscal year from July 2016 to the whatever, there was that $325,000, and there was this new budget coming out that was not going to be used, which was, I don't know which budget that was, so that we ended up with this $600,000 that I understood that is what's kind of in our capital equipment. So it's very confusing to me. And I know I'm not very fast at these kinds of things, but I guess that's just my question. As long as I'm here, if I might also read on behalf, again, quoting for Mr. Wilson on capital item 4, and I quote, "I'm asking you to budget with actual needs in mind to operate a department in an efficient and safe manner. knowing there will occasionally be unappropriated budget funds. As I mentioned, there will be a savings at times, and I have no issue with occasional savings being used towards capital replacement. However, I'm asking you to consider reducing the taxable mills if the budget is being prepared in a manner that generates expected savings on a regular basis rather than unplanned savings. Or if you're using expected budget savings to purchase large items in lieu of voter-supported levies, then show that estimated amount in the budget so the taxpayer residents are aware of what is being done, unquote. So I've done that for Mr. Wilson. And maybe there's something, maybe you and I get together and you can kind of show me and walk me through that a little more so I can understand it too. Mm-hmm. At some point, if we would.
Sure.
Thank you.
Any more public comment? On the capital reserve? If not, bring it back to the board for any more discussion.
Well, I'll make a motion that we approve to move $500,000 from the general operating and appropriate $100,000 into the building reserve fund and $400,000 into the apparatus replacement fund.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? None.
Nice work, guys.
You have a report for us, Jason?
Yeah. I'll just do the interesting part. At this time, we have 8 firefighters living here at the Sourdough Station, so we have a full house,
yeah.
And a really nice crew. They're doing great work. Still have 3 firefighters living in the Ray House.
Shouldn't we have one that's not so nice, though?
I don't know that about should, but it typically works that way. yeah. Our Fall Recruit Academy is going really well. They've already finished their state testing in exterior fire attack, offensive fire attack, and second story primary search. So they are hustling.
How many again?
There are 4.
4?
Yeah. We typically do 6, but this time we had 4 really good ones, and that's what we went with, and that's one of the contributing factors to the class going fast with less people. But great
so
group.
When are you looking for graduation on those?
We're hoping, let's see, it'd be nice before Christmas, but we'll see. Because typically it happens after Christmas, and the Christmas break is that it really gets in the way because we give the students that time to go visit their families and everything. So it'd be nice if we could, the hard tactics are done. So they're over the hump, so to speak. Yeah, they're doing great. We did have a structure fire recently off Rainbow Road here. Once again, like our last fire, our response time was 6 minutes. Pretty darn quick. It was quite a fire.
Is that because they called you late? Or they didn't find it till?
Yeah. It was in the morning. It was that morning. It snowed a bunch. And I think it was a Tuesday morning, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was here and I was starting to shovel snow. And we get the page. And so I think there's no question it started in their garage. And it was sealed up. And I think they just had a good seal on the man door from the garage of the house. And they were awake and just didn't notice. They lived there for 40 years, so I mean, not like new homeowners or anything. And by the time I got on scene, the garage, the overhead doors had failed. There was, the fire had spread across almost the entire front of the home. And we had our first engine out of here on scene and did our classic front bumper turret attack on it. And then, used hand lines and got control of the eaves that were on fire to prevent it from getting up into the attic, and then sent crews on the interior to make sure that we didn't have extension and communication of that fire into the main living area. There was 2 rooms above the garage. They got pretty heavily damaged from smoke, but not really burned badly. And so it was, I will admit, when I got on scene and took a look at it, I didn't think we were going to save it. We also got a report on the way there that two elderly people were still trapped inside. Ooh. So that added a level of excitement and pucker to the entire event. But when we got there, we were able to confirm that they were out and across the street at somebody else's house. But the insurance company came out and took a look at it, and they believe they can save the main portion of the house and just rebuild the garage. So our guys did a phenomenal job. We had a great mutual aid response from Bozeman Fire, Fort Ellis, Central Valley, Amsterdam, and Gateway.
And what was the cost? Was it like rags and paint?
Insurance company is saying at this point a garbage can. I don't know how they determined that, because that garage was torched. There was a vehicle inside that completely burned. The gas tank in the car flashed over. I mean, it was a big, big to-do.
So something in the urgent.
That's what the insurance company determined. I mean, accidental, so.
No, it's just crazy.
Yeah. Is one of their bedrooms over the garage?
Yeah.
So they woke up with...
But they were up and about.
They were up and about.
It was 9...
Yeah, it was during...
9:15.
That's right. Okay.
Yeah, they were up and about. And he hadn't driven his car, hadn't used a snowblower. None of those classic things. It hadn't been... No paint rags or stain or anything. But somehow the insurance company, investigator said garbage can. Which... Always blame it on the garbage can.
Oh, yes. Okay.
Your firefighters did a phenomenal job on that fire. A really first-rate job. We did a lot of customer care for the folks, helped them get all their essentials once we got the fire out of control. Cell phones, wallets, address books, purses, all that stuff out of the house. They didn't have any computers. That's normally something that people desperately want, is their computers. So, and seemed to be in pretty good spirits about it, all things considered.
Nice work.
Yeah. Yeah, training pays off.
Yeah, you guys got some great firefighters. And for a weekday at 9:15, we had a pretty doggone good response.
Yeah. It kind of helps.
Yeah.
Having some people.
Yeah, this truck was out of there fast. And two more minutes, and I don't think we would have caught it. It was close, very, very close. And that Chris Brantley living over here in the store too. Our Christmas party is on the 8th of December. It's a Friday night, starting at 6 p.m. Same location as last year, Lindley Center. Montana Ale Works once again is donating the meal for the volunteers, as they did last year. Roth is a terrific guy, lives in our district and loves the fire department.
What time did you say?
6 p.m. And love to have you guys there. That would be awesome. We had a live band last year. I don't know if it's gonna happen this year, but wasn't very popular. I mean, Walt loved it, but most...
Walt's half deaf.
Yeah.
There's a lot of Black Sabbath covers, but it was all right. And then our night with Santa is going to be on the 13th, which is a Wednesday night. That will also be at 6 p.m. So if you guys want to come down and build gingerbread houses with me, I would love it. For the members of the public, we do every year a night with Santa. We actually have a good friend of mine who's a retired Bozeman firefighter, Al Scholes, dresses up as Santa Claus, and he's got the perfect build for it. And we have him out in the bay, and the kids can come in with the parents, take pictures of Santa Claus, get little gifts, and then in here we have tables, and they build gingerbread houses and decorate cookies, and it's been a pretty big hit with the neighborhood families, and they have a great time. And we even have
gingerbread houses. Did you go through last year?
What's that?
How many gingerbread houses did you go through?
75 or 80. Yeah.
Yeah, it was phenomenal.
Yeah. And one of our volunteers takes pictures and then has this computer right there and emails the photos right to the parents that night, so they have them when they get home, and it's pretty cool. Yeah. And other than that, no firefighter injuries or significant equipment apparatus damages, and we are doing interviews for our part-time administrative assistant tomorrow night and Thursday night. Chuck and Walt will be sitting on that committee. So we're interviewing 6 candidates. We received about, I don't know, 25, 26 applications.
From your normal advertising?
Yeah, the newspaper, Craigslist, so that will. Yeah, no, we got a lot of response from it, and yeah, hopefully we'll find somebody good.
Cool. Did you get any feedback from the rescue truck manufacturer people? Did you have a chance?
No, I've been pretty busy on the thermal imaging cameras and AEDs right now, trying to get that off my plate first, and the thermal imaging camera thing has really given us a little bit of heartache because, yeah, it's hard to get good information. There's it's not like a TV or a car that you can look up online and read independent reviews. And in fact, I came up with the idea that we should start a third party evaluation company here at the fire department as a form of revenue, because there's no consumer reports for fire department. If you want to look up a pair of turnouts, it just doesn't exist. It's owned by the vendors. And
so you just call your buddies at the departments and say, hey,
and
ABC better than
yeah. I've been talking to San Jose Fire, and I've been calling all around. What are you guys using? Because our biggest problem has been durability. You can get into how many pixels and what's the refresh rate on the image as you go across and all those things, but in the end, the imagers we've been using for over 10 years, we're just constantly sending them in for repairs. And so we're really looking for that durable product.
Right.
And it's tough because they'll all tell you that their product is the greatest thing since sliced bread. But yeah, it's been a tough one. The AEDs was a little easier because there's only really 2 major companies making those. So that's a little easier. It's been a little tricky. And we've tested out Fleur, Bullard. We just haven't done, we've done, the, you know, ISG, which we already have, and then MSA, but it's tricky.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's, because we want to get something that's just not going to keep causing us to have
to sit in. So what you're saying, you're going to buy one of each and then start it?
Yeah, I wish, but no. Yeah. But we're going to figure it out. And, so yeah, that's what I got for you guys.
Any public comment on Jason? Yeah, we can't talk about his ears. Everything but his ears.
That's right. Like a taxi driver on his doorstep.
Yeah, he's a busy man.
Okay. Trustee activities.
Well, I can report that the audit is moving along incredibly well. I spent a little bit of time with the auditors answering the standard questions from you know, do we know of any fraud? Do we know of the standard thing? The nice thing is I could say no to all of the negative ones and yes to the positives. They do look through our which has been the same for quite some time, how we sign checks and kind of our fraud protection, and we usually always get high ratings for that. I would say they are maybe a week or 2 out right now, which is great because we have to file the annual report with the state, and we'll be able to use the audit as the annual report, which will cut down administrative time to do that. And so I told him our meeting was tonight, and kind of tried to get him, but we're not the only audit they're doing, so it just wasn't going to happen. So I would anticipate the January meeting would have, if we do decide not to do a meeting in December, that the January meeting would have the audit presentation at it. The other thing I can say is I went to the county, Gallup County put on a training for boards, and Jason and I went down and took that in. And probably the biggest thing is, the treasurer's office is going to be switching over to new software and new programming, which
will go very smoothly.
Yeah, that's the way to put it. So that's coming, and I think they're doing that over about the next 18 months is what they said the outlook for the time frame. And then probably one of the other biggest takeaways.
That's why you got out of Treasury?
That's exactly why I got out. then I think everybody here went to that, to when we had government services come to Anderson School and do the training, and Dan Clark's the guy from MSU Extension that does that. And probably my biggest takeaway from that was there's the law, and then there's the interpretation or best practices. And those two are, you know, you got this, but then there's all that read into, well, what does that, what was the intent? What was the, like we have, and I guess that's why we have a court system, because then there's the interpretation of all that. But it was good to get a refresher and kind of go through there. And several questions were asked. I know one of our constituents, Nick Schroeder, was in attendance also. And I think there was a pretty wide set of board members there from, there was three or four fire departments represented, and then other boards throughout, and, you know, some similar questions and then some different ones. Since we don't do the, you know, one thing that I was kind of sorry about is, the, you know, the county doesn't do our books. You know, some of those boards, they do your books, so we wouldn't have to be tasked with that or have to have our own on that. But
so why don't they do ours?
Because we're a district and we fall under the state law, not the county law. So it's that weird, unique thing that a district is inside the county, but doesn't really fall under the county.
Yeah.
So, anyways, so those are two things, two major things that I was doing, other than I talked to him every once in a while.
Anybody else got anything? Any comment on Chuck?
I believe I referred to Pete's line about the Chevys, and we don't talk about Chuck either.
Trustee activities, kind of announcements. We normally don't do a December meeting because nobody's here anyway, it seems like. So, given that scenario, we'll just, is everybody okay with the standard January date?
I won't be here.
That would be the 16th of January is what that would be, 16th of January.
That won't be here. Good for me. 2 weeks in January.
Good for me.
Do you have an interim treasurer in mind?
Oh, Chuck E. Chuck and Amber.
How's your schedule?
If we did it,
it looks okay for now.
Okay.
So. If we did it the 23rd, I mean, I'd...
But. Oh, you're assuming we want you here.
Well,
okay, I get it.
I'm just throwing that out as a possibility.
How's your 23rd?
I'm logging the 16th.
Oh, you can look at it a whole month at a time.
23rd looks okay.
Okay. How are you, Chuck?
I'm fine. I mean, the only is the 9th out of the question for you?
I remember from the 28th through.
Okay. I don't.
Well, do we have an issue with the audit?
No, and that's what I was trying to think, is if there's anything that going that long between meetings would create. But if staff doesn't have anything, I can't think of anything that's going to. Because the bills, I mean, we're in the middle of the fiscal year, so the bills are all budgeted, so that'll go just fine. You can hire the administrative assistant, so we don't have to approve that.
Right. And Chuck Tate, that'll give him a little more time to heal.
Yeah, because he's had it for 2 months.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fine by me.
You want to push it back a week then, okay?
23rd? Is that what we're talking?
Yep.
Okay. All right. I guess that calls for adjournment.
Thanks for coming. It's great to have some smiling faces out there.
And Steve made it clear to adjournment.
Yeah.
I got it. Well, I thought there was cookies or something. But.
There are. But you got to fight fire first for them.
Yeah.
Well, now I find out they're living here, so I can't.
Yeah, it's a little more scary.
Yeah, they're guarding the pile.
You probably got to cook them yourself.